Back to the Anime Summit Newscast. It's your favorite host with the most, Sam the Bomb. And it is, it's June 19th, 2020. It is Juneteenth. So if you don't know what that means, I strongly suggest you Google it. It is Juneteenth today. So please look into that, because I was ignorant as fuck on what Juneteenth was until recently. So that just goes to show you, like, you know, I know a lot of things, and then you think you know a lot of things, and then you just don't know a lot of things. Let's just say that. But yeah. Hell yeah, dude. It's June 19th. Welcome back to another newscast. Got a long one today, I think. I got about even amount non-anime and anime news. Here's the thing, and last week I kind of mentioned this too on the newscast last week, that like I always talk about like comic book movies and shit, it seems like, and I keep giving updates on them. We're not going to do that until we get some more solid trailers of things. I'm not going to mention them just because it's just like, you know, I've been doing the newscast for almost, oh man, probably almost 2 years now, right? Right? Yeah. It's been past 2 years now because what is it? Just like, yeah, there's like 36 or how many weeks are in a year? Anyway, doesn't matter. what I'm saying is if I can refine the newscast even 5 years later, I want to. So that's what I'm going to do. And I kind of feel like, you know, it's like we talk about it. We keep seeing these random updates, and it's like updates that nobody cares about. You know what I mean? Even during the pandemic, it's just like, okay, yeah, we know, you know, so I'm going to try and skip those from now on until it's like substantial pieces of news that people want to hear, like they announced this, they announced the next Hulk movie or whatever, you know what I mean? So I hope you guys feel me on that, and if you guys want to hear it, then just let me know. But anyway, let's kick it off, right? We got news today that Ian Holm passed away. He was 88 years old, and he was battling Parkinson's disease, which is like, man, it's one of those diseases that you just think about. It's like, it's on the same level. I don't want to say like level of severity, but same level of like mental energy of like when you think about dementia or Alzheimer's. It's just this scary disease that nobody knows how to deal with. And man, Parkinson's, man. And some people get it differently than other people. And yeah, man, I actually had no idea that he was even battling that, to be honest with you. His name is actually Sir Ian Holm. He was knighted, so he's actually Sir Ian Holm. But if you don't know who that is, he was best known for playing Bilbo Baggins in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And it just, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. And then he reprised his role as the older version of Bilbo in the Hobbit movie series as well. But yeah, many other great roles, great actor, and sad to see him go after battling such a nasty disease. So this one's for Ian Holm. Rest in power, my friend. Rest in paradise. Rest in paradise. So let's get into the news, shall we? Let's do it. Look at the non-anime news, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll get into the anime news. Injustice Gods Among Us is free this weekend. So like if you're listening to this right now, it's free right now. WB Games tweeted, "Be a hero while playing with friends and family. Injustice Gods Among Us is available for free now on Xbox and PlayStation and PC until June 25th. So actually not just this weekend, but it starts this weekend. So yeah, you can snag a copy by going to either the PlayStation or Xbox stores on your home console or by hitting up Steam on PC. And then yeah, just get it. Yeah, it's a fun game. Injustice 2 is out, but like the first one has a cool story, and I mean, it's free, so. Nintendo will show Super Smash Bros. Ultimate's ARMS character next week. There's actually, on YouTube, on Nintendo's official channel, there's like a live stream that's scheduled that you can sub to or set a reminder to on your YouTube account. So yeah, I'm betting that's what it's going to be. Pretty cool, man. Nintendo's kind of killing it this week, to be honest with you. Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, leaked by ratings board. The Taiwan Digital Game Rating Committee has rated the unannounced Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, for PlayStation 4, Xbox One. Toys for Bob, the studio behind the well-received Spyro Reignited trilogy of remasters, is developing the title. Crash is relaxing and exploring his island in his time, 1998, when he finds a mysterious mask hidden away in a cave, Lani Loli. The mask is one of the quantum masks and apparently knows Aku Aku, Crash's mask friend. With the quantum mask returning and a quantum rift appearing near our heroes, they decide to bravely head through to different times and dimensions to stop whoever is responsible. So hell yeah, Crash, it's a sequel, a straight up sequel to the original three games. So that's pretty cool, man. You can get like the remasters and then play this one. Crash Bandicoot is just a fun action platformer game, adventure game, just really fun. Star Wars Squadrons, man, that is going to be sick. Comes out October, going to be on all PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Really excited about this. I mean, like, I think a lot of, what would you call those games? Like flight battle or flight sim games don't get enough credit. Like Ace Combat, sick game. Rogue Squadron, Star Wars Rogue Squadron on N64, sick game. And I think, like, these kind of, they're not bad games. They just go under the radar more than I think they should. And obviously that's because, you know, there's FPSs and battle arena games that are really popular right now. But yeah, this is going to be sweet. I'm excited for this. This is going to be a sick, sick game. You know, Republic or, you know, or the, you can be Imperial ships or Republic ships. You can customize parts of your ships, things like that. It's going to be cool, man. But it's an EA Games thing, so hopefully they don't, you know, muck it up with bullshit. But, you know, you never know. Apex Legends is coming to Switch and Steam and getting crossplay, dude. Holy shit. At EA Play 2020 event, EA announced that Apex Legends is coming to Steam and getting crossplay. The Battle Royale is also coming to Switch this fall. EA also gave a few details about Lost Treasures event landing on June 23rd. That's pretty cool, man. I think crossplay is important. The idea that you get to choose what console you're comfortable on but still play with everybody else, I think is really cool. I think is really important. I always loved the idea of getting on Street Fighter V on my computer and being able to play people who are playing on the PlayStation. You know what I mean? I really like that idea. Any kind of idea that just brings people together, you know, I think is really cool. So crossplay is really cool. Hell yeah, dude, Apex Legends. I do have Apex Legends on the PS4, and I'm not very good at it. I might be better on it. Playing FPSs on a PS4 controller is weird to me. It just doesn't sit right with me. Some people can do it. I cannot do it. I have to have the keyboard and mouse for me. It's way better. Pokemon Sword and... Here's a bunch of Pokemon news in a row, okay? So here we go. Pokemon news. Pokemon Sword and Shield holding special Zerora Max Raid Battle Challenge event to celebrate the launch of Sword and Shield's Isle of Armor expansion today. Sword and Shield players can take part in a new limited time challenge event featuring the mythical Pokemon Zerora. It is now appearing as a max raid battle boss, and if 1 million players around the globe can take down the Thunderclap champion, players will be able to receive a shiny Zerora for use in Sword and Shield. The challenge lasts from June 17th to June 28th. In order to claim your shiny Zerora, you must have move a Pokemon between Pokemon Home and Pokemon Sword or Shield during the June 17th to June 28th window. The shiny Zerora will be gifted through the mobile version of Pokemon Home. So, there you go. Here's some more Pokemon news. Mega Evolutions are coming to Pokemon Go. The trailer came out, actually, I think today. But yeah, that's pretty cool, man. They're trying to put more into Pokemon Go, and Pokemon Go is still going strong, man. So, you're going to see Mega Evolutions in Pokemon Go. Pokemon Cafe Mix is a free-to-start puzzle game on Switch and mobile devices. The Pokemon Company has announced a new puzzle game for Switch and iOS and Android. Pokemon Cafe Mix tasks players with linking Pokemon together by grabbing and swirling their icon and dragging them next to a matching icon. Just your basic puzzle game. Has a very nice design to it. And then It's kind of like there's a bunch of other kind of mobile puzzle games like this. The icons kind of fall and tumble down on each other, and you kind of draw, you know, a link to them to link them together. That's kind of cute. The design looks really cool. I'm not saying to play it, but it does look really nice for a mobile game, a free mobile game. Arguably the best Pokemon news we got this week is new Pokemon Snap announced for Switch. A little teaser trailer came out for this, and we have been begging for this for years now. Pokemon Snap came out in 1999. Getting this game was, I mean, I remember getting it as a kid, and it was just the greatest thing. Trying to get Mew at the very end, you know, it's just amazing. Just amazing. And really fun game. So I'm really excited. I understand that this is probably going to work, you know, with the motion controls and things like that. I imagine that it'll be like kind of they'll make it for both Switch and Switch Lite, like accessible for both. Because the Switch Lite has the motion controls too, you know, and you just kind of move your Switch around. I assume it's going to be like that, and I'm sure you can change it so where you switch it to just your stick. You don't have to use the motion control. But I mean, either way, that's still really cool, and I'm excited for this. I'm so, so, so damn excited for it. And one of the screenshots of it, you know, it's this new kid with a picture, with a camera, and is in a similar vehicle, like in the one you used in the original where you played as the character Todd, or I don't know what his Japanese name is, but I know his name is Todd in the anime. So yeah, that's really cool. I'm excited for new Pokemon Snap. Since the Wii came out, you know, it was even like, come on, dude, like, you know, you have these motion controls, it'd be perfect. Hell yeah. Pokemon Go Fest 2020 is a two-day event held on July 25th and 26th from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. in your time zone. In years past, Pokemon Go Fest took place in Chicago, but due to the pandemic, developer Niantic is making this year's festival a worldwide event, meaning you can be part of it from anywhere, even in your house. For the first time, players attending the fest can play on both days. Tickets are available to everyone and can be purchased within the game for $14.99. If you attended one of these fun gatherings in previous years, Niantic set up walking trails through parks that took you to different habitats to catch specific Pokemon, things like that. This year's fest still includes habitats, but you don't need to travel to them. They are going to come to you and will rotate every hour. So that's pretty cool. People were kind of wondering how they were going to handle this. And they, I mean, obviously whatever can make you stay at home was the idea. But yeah, it's all about just adapting, figuring it out. So if you're into that, you know, there's that whole argument. It's like, why would you spend money on a mobile game? People do it, man. People have fun. People have fun with mobile games, dude. So, you know, fuck you. that's also coming from someone who has done the same, so shut up. new Overwatch Zarya alien skin celebrates Sinnatra. Whoa. Zarya has a new look. You could call it downright alien because it is. It's an alien skin designed by 2019 MVP Jay Sinatra Juan with the Overwatch dev team. The new skin is available until June 30th. So that's right. You can log in right now and get that skin. We talked about the Lego Mario set, and they have revealed the full product line. Damn, these are expensive. The Adventures with Mario Starter Course is $60. Guarded Fortress expansion is $50. Desert Pokey expansion set. Womp's Lava Trouble expansion set. Piranha Plant. Looks like the little enemy habitat things are like $30 a piece. The Bowser Castle boss, he's got like his throne there. That's $100. The Twomp drop expansion set, which is, it's really cool. It's like on a little thing and it actually drops down, only available at select retailers, $40. Same with the King Boo in the Haunted Yard, $50, only available at select retailers. Fire Mario power up pack, where it's like a fire version of Mario. Propeller Mario power up pack, $10. The power packs are $10. Mystery character packs are $5 each, and you could get just a random, like a little random enemy, like a blooper, a Goomba, Bullet Bill. Really cool. Man, I really want, it also comes with like an app called the Lego Super Mario app, to further enhance, like, you know, your play and stuff and customize it however you want. I really want to buy some of these, to be honest with you. It's really cool because the whole idea behind the Mario set is basically that you're making like you're making an overworld kind of, with little habitats and trees and things like that all over the place. It just looks so cool, man. And you can connect them all together, and really want it. Looks so cool. Yeah, check that out. Here's some Kingdom Hearts news. So we talked about this. Remember, we talked about it a couple months ago that Kingdom Hearts announced two projects. One of them we kind of knew was Kingdom Hearts Dark Road, and that was all that was revealed about it. And then the other one, revealed just a couple days ago, was called Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory, and it's a rhythm game, probably coming out for the phone. Oh, no, Melody of Memory is coming to PS4, Xbox One, and Switch later this year worldwide. You can see a trailer for it right now. And I am guessing that it just goes through the songs of Disney movies and the soundtrack of the games. So that's really cool. And then they announced Kingdom Hearts Dark Road. And actually, the full title for it is Kingdom Hearts Union Cross Dark Road. It uses the Union Cross kind of art and design, and but it basically tells the story of young Xehanort and young Arrakis and how things happen the way they happened. A lot of the story will take place in Scala Ad Caelum, you know, where they grew up and became Keyblade Masters and things like that. So that's really interesting. I don't think I'd be playing this, to be honest with you. I was playing Union Cross for a long time, and the story just took forever to come out. So I ended up just not quite, I quit playing it. It's still a really fun game, don't get me wrong, but I got tired of waiting for the story, and Kingdom Hearts 3 was already coming out, and I thought the story was going to be done by the time Kingdom Hearts 3 came out, and it wasn't. Just a bunch of hokey-pokey baloney. But yeah, this will come out June 22nd for the smartphone, for iOS and Android, and Amazon, so if you have a Kindle. Yeah, dude, Kingdom Hearts Dark Road. I'm probably just going to read what happens, because I'm done with Kingdom Hearts for now. May comes to Heroes of the Storm. PTR patch notes for Blizzard's MOBA Heroes of the Storm went live today, revealing that Overwatch hero May is on her way to do battle alongside the denizens of Diablo, Warriors of Warcraft, and many other Blizzard legends. That's what's up. I mean, I always thought that the next Overwatch character that they were going to add was going to be like... Because what do they have? They have D.Va, Genji, Tracer, right? I always thought they were going to add, like, Winston or, you know, like another tank character or something. But I'm glad it's May. Persona 4 Golden leaps from Vita to Steam and is available now. That's right, dude. Persona 4 Golden. So Persona 4 Golden is the expanded, like, Redux version of Persona 4. It's kind of like how Persona 5 Royal is, like, the new Persona 5 version. Persona 4 Golden's really cool. And it debuted in Japan on PS3 and PS Vita. And then we got it here in America on the Vita. So now there's another way to play it. And you can play it on Steam, which is great. Need more Persona games on Steam. Okay, here we go. So here's some movie and TV news. Classic 90s sci-fi series Animorphs is getting a movie. Do you guys remember Animorphs? The books by K.A. Applegate? Dude, Animorphs, for some reason, in the past few years, has just been getting some, like, weird kind of comeback among fans. They're just like, it's like the nostalgia, you know, is coming back to everyone. They're like, dude, you guys remember Animorphs? Remember Animorphs? And there's been a lot of buzz lately about people revisiting Animorphs and how awesome it is and things like that. I remember, if you don't know what Animorphs is about, so these books were coming out. These were like young adult novels, you could say, or youth novels for like ages 12 and up. They're kind of like they're kind of like children's novels more so. They're published by Scholastic Books, and there was, I think it ran from the mid-90s to like 2000 and something, and they reissued him like in 2010 or 2011. But it revolves around these group of friends and an alien who comes down, and these five kids obtain the ability to transform into an animal they touch, and they call themselves the Animorphs. And they use their and this one alien comes down, and he's like, yo, like, this is what's up. And they battle the secret alien infiltration of Earth, of these, like, parasitic aliens, and the aliens are called Yurks. Or Yarks? Yarks? Were they called Yarks or Yurks? I don't remember. But, like, anyway, I've been wanting to reread these books, but apparently it's getting a movie. It did have a TV series, and I don't remember what channel that TV series originally aired on, but I do remember watching it on Nickelodeon when I was younger. Really cool show. It was a really cool show, and there's, like, one of the characters, here's the catch, though. Here's the problem. They can't, when they transform into the animal, if they stay in that form for too long, they stay that way forever. And it's like, fuck. Dude. And so, like, that's part of, like, that's one of the catches. And it's like, it becomes a problem. It's like one of the things that hinders them, you know. Either way, Animorphs is really cool. I hope it gets a whole fucking movie series, you know. That'd be sick. That'd be really sick. Netflix delays Transformers War for Cybertron trilogy siege. This was supposed to be a show, I guess. Polygon Pictures is animating the series and Rooster Teeth is producing. The series will have 6 22-minute episodes, and they teased, so the first one was called War for Cybertron Siege, and it's supposed to be 6 episodes. Then the next one was going to be called War for Cybertron Earthrise, and it was supposed to be like a trilogy or whatever, and it's supposed to show like the final hours of Cybertron and things like that. I imagine that it's like an animation of the game, kind of the game War for Cybertron that came out a little bit ago. But yeah, apparently they are delaying it. It had a planned release for this month, and due to the quarantine, they didn't finish the foreign dubs for the show and added that Netflix is requiring foreign dubs to be completed before the show's launch so that all languages can launch simultaneously. You know, that's really cool. I don't blame them for that, honestly. I mean, they want everybody to have it. That's really cool. But yeah, I kind of want to watch that. I have not seen a Transformers thing in a while, so that'll be cool. It looks really cool. Dwayne Johnson announces Black Adam appearance at DC's Fandom. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the star of Black Adam, has confirmed his appearance at the upcoming DC Fandom virtual. Yeah, he confirmed that he was going to be Black Adam in the next fucking Shazam movie. Or I think it's its own movie, right? Anyway. Oh, yeah. In Black Adam, Johnson will portray the eponymous Shazam villain who first appeared in 1945 as the Marvel family. I still haven't seen Shazam. I still want to watch it. I heard it's like one of the best DC movies. But yeah, definitely want to watch it. HBO makes Watchmen available to stream for free for Juneteenth. In honor of Juneteenth, HBO is making all 9 episodes of Damon Lindelof's acclaimed Watchmen series free to stream on from June 19th to June 21st. Again, at the beginning of this, I said, you know, look up what Juneteenth is. It's very important, and it has a lot to do, actually it has everything to do with what happens in the show Watchmen that actually takes place in a real life event that happened in America. So that's really cool. Really awesome. And at first I was not excited about Watchmen. Do you guys remember that when this was coming out? I was like, eh, this looks lame, you know? With everything going on, I want to watch it so I can learn some stuff. You know what I mean? And I hear it's really good. So I will admit my ignorance there 100%. Umbrella Academy second season and synopsis is completely apocalyptic. Did anyone watch this? The Umbrella Academy that was based on the comic, The Umbrella Academy, which I've only read like the first book for. But The Umbrella Academy is the comic done by Gabriel Ba and Gerard Way. I really liked it when I was reading it, but I hear the show is just fucking amazing. really, really, really want to watch the show. But yeah, fucking apparently the second season is supposed to be fucking crazy. There's not really a release date for it yet, I don't think. I think due to the pandemic, they had to delay some shit. But yeah. This is some fucking news right here. Attack the Block 2, John Boyega has discussed a sequel. John Boyega's rise to stardom began when he took the lead role in Joe Cornish's sci-fi cult classic Attack the Block. If you've never seen Attack the Block, please watch it. It's such a cool fucking sci-fi movie. It's about these inner city kids in South London, and these aliens kind of crash land in the middle of the city, and these kids are like, you know, they're kind of gangsters, you know, and they're like, dude, fuck these aliens, let's go fuck them up, right? And they get into a whole mess and they fight these aliens, and it's fucking amazing. It's really cool. And the design of the aliens, for one thing, is just really cool. And John Boyega is amazing. He stars as the lead character. I really hope that there's a sequel. I would love to see a sequel to that. That'd be sick. Here's a big thing. These things kind of go together, and I kind of want to talk about this for a minute. The movie Scoob, the new Scooby-Doo movie, the 3D animated one, is going to stream exclusively on HBO Max this month. So instead of going to the movie theater, it's coming straight to a streaming thing. This, of course, comes in the midst of the announcements that AMC Theaters and another chain of theaters is now opening in the middle of July. And they're requiring people to wear masks for obvious reasons, which is funny because AMC Theaters, like, told people, no, you don't have to wear a mask, and now they're telling people you have to. Honestly, people just wear one. I know it sucks to wear it for a while, but I have to wear one at work. You know, just wear one. That being said, that's just my opinion. I don't know. But anyway, that's crazy. It's crazy to me. That really sucks. Because we were seeing talks of movie theaters potentially closing because of shit like this, and because of the pandemic. And I don't think anyone wants that. There's a lot of things that are on the verge of closing, and I've seen people come together and donate money to things and things like that. And, you know, not that theaters have asked for it. Maybe mom and pop theaters have. But movie theaters are a big part of the movie experience. The big screen is a big part of the movie experience. And I hope that we can keep them alive. The convenience of coming straight to your streaming service is nice. But I liken this to like wanting the physical media of things. You know what I mean? Wanting to buy the physical versions of things. I totally get that too. I'm down with that. And I feel the same way about movie theater experience. So I hope, you know, I hope that, you know, I think it's too early to open things, but, you know, that's a whole nother discussion, but I get it. I get the convenience of the stream thing and Scoob going straight to streaming. I totally get that. But movie theaters opening is, on one hand, it's a bad thing, I think, because it might be too early, but on the other hand, it could be a good thing, you know. We're finding out more and more about COVID, so that's good. But anyway, basically what it comes down to is I love the movie theater experience. That's what I'm going to say. And I would rather stay safe, but on the other side of it, it's like a double-edged sword, right? You can't have it both ways, like, because obviously I love movie theaters, but let me know what you think about that. Woo, this is going to be a long one, you guys. Okay, here we go. Let's get into the anime news, shall we? But first, I'm going to go slap Trisha's butt. She was into it. You could tell. You could tell. She was into it. Just gave her the quick. Real quick. Just kidding. I didn't. She's downstairs watching a movie. links.animesummit.net. You can find everything right there. Patreon.com/animesummit. Thank you for being a patron. Really appreciate it. If you become a patron right now, what our money is going to is new equipment, and we're looking on doing some ads on Anchor. So like, you know how you hear ad here, like after you just heard an ad from us, where I'm trying to look into recording a thing so other podcasts can put like our ad in, you know what I mean? So that's where the money is going right now. So I really appreciate it. And new equipment. Like, I'm getting new stuff for my computer. I think we're getting new stuff for Nick. I think we're talking about it right now. So don't, like, quote me on it. But I just want to be somewhat transparent with you guys on where it's going. And I'm working on merch stuff. That's another place it's going. So thank you so much for being a patron. I really appreciate it. Really love it. Hell yeah, let's get into it though, shall we? Actually, you know what? I'm gonna save this for the second to last thing. Let's move that down there. Okay, here we go. Ant-Man vs. Cyborg 009 manga announced for debut on July 18th. Really love Ant-Man. Ant-Man is fucking cool. Is an old cartoon show that came out in the 60s. And, you know, there was also the Ant-Man After OVA, which is really cool. And Shotaro Ishinomori's Cyborg 009 came out in the 60s, had a redo in the 70s, had a remake in the 2000s. And then the 009 Re-Cyborg movie, which was really cool. Hell yeah. So I'm excited for this manga. This could be really cool. It's funny because, like, the key visual for it is, like, their old black and white versions, and the whole thing is in black and white. Really cool. I love seeing these crossovers of these old, like, there was the Cyborg 009 versus Devilman, which I never watched. I want to, but I thought that was really cool. So it's really cool to see Ant-Man and Cyborg 009. I love Ant-Man. Ant-Man's really cool. Super Robot Wars 30th anniversary game listed for PS5, PS4, and the Switch. Online retailer Play Asia is listing a game with the title Super Robot Wars 30th Anniversary for PS5, PS4, and the Switch. The Super Robot Wars game series will celebrate its 30th anniversary on April 20th, 2021. That's really cool, man. The latest one is Super Robot Wars X, and that came out for PC and the Switch on January 10th. And it debuted for the PlayStation 4 and Vita in March 2018. I need to fucking play this game, man. I need to play more Super Robot Wars games. I had an English patch for one of the Super Nintendo ones. And I do own the actual cartridge, by the way. So fuck you. Super Famicom cartridge. And I had an English patch for it and I fucking lost it and I can't fucking find it. So if you guys can find it. But no, Super Robot Wars games, dude. So good. I love those games. Arid Sankey, Dungeon Fighter Online anime reveals Japanese cast on July 3rd. Leiden Films began streaming a new promotional video for its new anime adaptation of Arid Sankey Dungeon Fighter Online game on Friday. The video reveals the game's Japanese cast and July 3rd premiere date. The anime is now titled Arid Gyakuten no Gear, Arid Reversal of Fate. The reason why it's called Arid Sankey is because the world it takes place in is called Arid, or Arid. But yeah, Dungeon Fighter is really cool. It originally was a game. Actually, Kai Clear and Sweet, he does DFO videos on his channel. There was an anime series in 2009 that had 26 episodes that premiered. 2009, and it was called Slap a Party, Arid Sankey, and it was a more comedic take on it, kind of Konosuba like. Even the character design was really kind of like goofy looking. It was kind of like an action adventure comedy. But yeah, Chinese company Tencent, Taiwanese company Friendly Land, and Leiden Films announced the anime at an event in Shanghai in June 2018 to commemorate the 10th anniversary game of the game's Chinese release. This was originally. It was originally a Nexon game, which is a South Korean company, and then now Neopple. Then it got canceled, and then Neopple took it up and revamped it. I tried to replay it again. I used to go hard in it, to be honest with you. It's tough. It's a tough game, but yeah, this will feature the new classes and everything. Looks really cool. This is a more serious take. Looks like a more straightforward take, a straightforward adaptation of it. So yeah, if you like Dungeon Fighter Online. Ghibli unveils first visuals from its first CG feature, Earwig and the Witch. Studio Ghibli and NHK posted the first visuals from the studio's first CG feature, Gorō Miyazaki's anime of Diana Wynne Jones' Earwig and the Witch novel on Friday. Gorō Miyazaki, the son of Ghibli co-founder Hayao Miyazaki, commented that Japan has many adults but few children. due to declining birth rates and no longer life expectancy, so it's tough to be a child today. He was pondering this when he first encountered the character Earwig. It was then announced that he realized that she should be ideal for these times, as he imagined how she would deal with the troublesome adults. So yeah, I mean, that's really cool. It looks, somebody had posted it earlier in our Discord, and someone had said it kind of looks like a Pixar movie, but, you know, with the designs of the characters being Ghibli, obviously. And it kind of does. It actually kind of does look like that, and it looks pretty cool. I'll still give it a watch. You know, I'm curious. It does look really nice, to be honest with you. So, yeah, Earwig and the Witch. The first Fate Grand Order anime film has been delayed due to COVID. It was going to be opening August 15th, and due to the effects of the new coronavirus on its production, it'll be delayed indefinitely. I don't think they have a newer date for it yet, but yeah. One Piece and Digimon Adventure anime resumed with new episodes on June 28th after its delay. So yeah, we're coming back with One Piece and Digimon Adventure, which I'm excited for, because Digimon Adventure was fucking sick, and for all you One Piece fans out there, it's coming back. We're getting some animes coming back. There's some still being delayed, but we're getting some that are coming back, so that's what's up. The Titan's Bride finally came out with a new teaser. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. This anime looks really cool, but it's supposed to be like a boys' love anime, and this one character gets isekai'd to this new world, this fantasy world, in front of the Titan King, and he's like this big kind of Amazon guy. He's like, well, you know, he's like a way bigger human than a regular human, and he's a tall player in his high school basketball team, and he's whisked away to another world, and there he arrives in a kingdom of giants and is asked by the kingdom's first prince to be his bride and bear his child, which is really fucking funny. The key visual for it's really cute. I'm excited for that. That looks cute. No Guns Live TV anime second half premieres on July 9th after a COVID delay. So this was a COVID delay also. I think this was supposed to premiere during the spring season, and this got delayed till summer. So those of you who are watching No Guns Live. Metabots franchise gets Metarot Classics Plus Switch game compilation on November 12th. Imagineer announced on Thursday that the Metabots franchise is getting a new game compilation for Nintendo Switch, titled Metarot Classics Plus, on November 12th. The two versions of the game, Metarot Classics Plus, Kabuto version and Kuwagata version, or in America it would be Rokusho and Metabi, will each include the respective Kabuto and Kuwagata versions of the 8 Metarot games. So the games will include Metarot, Metarot 2, Metarot 3, Metarot 4, Metarot 5, Metarot Navi, Metarot G, and Metarot 2 Core. So one of these is the one I played. I don't remember which one, though. There's one on Game Boy Advance called Metabots AX, and I think that's one of these. I just don't remember which one. But yeah, Metabot AX is a really cool game. I had the Rokusho version, or the Kabuto version, and or a Kuwagata version, I should say. Really cool. Really cool. I love Metabots. I want to rewatch it. Just the first part, though. The later parts were kind of weird, but like, yeah, I really love Metabots. Nick would probably give me shit for that, but fuck him. probably my favorite piece of news this week, and I think this was news already, but this is like a new article that just came out, so I don't know. But Tokyo Revengers manga gets TV anime in 2021. An official website opened on Friday to announce that Ken Wakui's Tokyo Revengers manga is getting a television anime adaptation in 2021. The website revealed a teaser video and teaser visual illustrated by Wakui. So yeah, that's really cool. I hope they keep the style similar to the manga. It's such a unique style. I really like it. I just read the latest chapter too, and whoo, boy howdy. I'm really excited. I'm really excited for Tokyo Revengers anime in 2021. Mobile Suit Gundam Extreme vs. Maxibus on PS4 game trailer reveals open beta. Extreme vs. Maxibus on. What a weird name. Extreme vs. Maxibus on. So is this like a fighting game? What is this? This looks fucking amazing. Hold on a second. Let me watch the trailer real quick. Oh, okay, so it's like a 3D battler, arena battler. And you can pick from 185 mobile suits from 36 different Gundam works. That is fucking cool, man. That is fucking cool. Are we getting this in America right now? tell me to my face. Oh, July 30 in America and Europe, and Friday and ending the game when the game launches on July 30th. Okay, and so there's an open beta in right now. So okay, that's really cool, man. Ooh, I might get this game. I haven't played a Gundam game in a while, so I might get this. Just, is there online play? Dude, who will play this with me if there's online play? Seriously, dude, I want to play some Gundam shit. Tsuburaya simulcast Ultraman Z series with English subtitles. The official English website for Tsuburaya Productions Ultraman franchise announced on Wednesday that it will stream an English subtitled simulcast of the upcoming Ultraman Z live action tokusatsu series on Tsuburaya YouTube channel. The first episode will debut this Friday, with new episodes debuting on the channel every Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time after the Japanese airing, with each episode only available for 2 weeks. So yeah, there you go, man. New Ultraman. Ultraman Z. Immortal Hounds. Anyone read this manga? I want to read this. I heard it was fucking dope. But basically, Immortal Hounds manga's final arc reaches final station. The 75th issue of Kadokawa's Harada magazine revealed on Tuesday that the final arc of Ryo Yasahachi's Immortal Hounds manga will enter its final stage in the magazine's next issue. If anyone's reading this, let me know. A couple people have recommended this to me, and I wanna know if I should read that. Fire Force Anime Season 2 premieres on July 3rd. So summer season, I think we didn't have a solid date on that, right? Anyway, if that's a repeat to you, I'm sorry. God of High School Anime gets English dub. I just watched the new trailer that dropped for this today. So fucking excited for the God of High School, you guys. I'm so excited. Like, I fucking just... This is, like, the kind of exact shit that I'm into. Fucking tournament fighting, great animation of, like, martial arts and shit. Just like, this is gonna be sick. This is gonna be dope. I'm gonna like this one a lot. And I should read the manga, honestly. Or the manhwa. Excuse me, the manhwa by Youngji Park, God of High School. It's gonna be sick. I can't wait for that. Taiyo Matsumoto's character designs for Masaki Yuasa's Inu O anime film unveiled. Inu O was a real-life figure, a Sarugaku no performer and playwright who was extremely popular in the 14th century. However, he is all but unknown to people nowadays because very few documents about his life have survived. Now, around 600 years later, this Inu O project portrays the tales of brotherhood between the legendary Inu O, who vanished from history, and a certain biwa player, and is full of music and dance sequences. Yeah, Masaki Yuasa is directing the film, Matsumoto is drafting the original character designs, and it's going to be his second collaboration with Yuasa, who directed the anime of Matsumoto's Ping Pong. Hell yeah, man. He's working. Masaki Yuasa's going hard. Masaki Yuasa's going hard right now. Real shit. Redo of Healer anime reveals main cast 2021 premiere. This is some more anime hype for 2021. The revenge fantasy story centers on Kiyarga, a healer who is used and tossed around by his fellow adventurers on the assumption that healers cannot fight on their own. However, when he achieves the ultimate healing magic and heals the world itself, he goes back 4 years to redo his life. So this is like a fantasy anime without having to be an isekai, which is kind of cool. Seriously, it's just like fuck off. You don't need to have somebody transfer to another world. I guess you could kind of say that it's a time leap kind of thing, though, because he goes back 4 years. But yeah, no, that kind of seems interesting. I'm kind of interested to see how that plays out. Based on a manga, I guess. Mr. Love, Queen's Choice. TV anime reveals theme songs. July 15th debut. Here's some more summer anime hype. Excuse me. In the anime story, the heroine inherited a company from her late father and is now in charge of a television program as its producer. However, the company is on the brink of bankruptcy due to the lack of capital. While trying to save her father's once popular program and company, she meets four potential boyfriends. However, before she knows it, she is caught in a huge conspiracy over special powers known as evil. E-V-O-L. Evil. 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 Evil! This one crazy, man. I don't know. So is this supposed to be like a fantasy or some shit? I don't know, but that guy in the middle is kind of hot. He's kind of... I would tap that ass. I would do him. I would do him right here. Right now. Otakon announces online event for August 1st. Otakon announced on its official YouTube channel on Saturday that it will be hosting the online event Otakon Online on August 1st. The virtual convention will be a day-long event comprising of interviews, panels, workshops, music events, and gaming events. Otakon will stream the event for free and will release more details about the event on its YouTube channel over the next month. So yeah, it's pretty cool. The staff of Otakon announced on April 27th that this year's event is canceled due to the planned use of the Walter E. Washington Convention Center as a field hospital in response to the new Shimona virus. So yeah, they had to cancel it, obviously. All registrations for the 2020 event will automatically transfer to next year's event, which is scheduled. So it's allowing an exception to its no refund policy, and registrants unable to attend next year had to apply online for a refund by May 31st. Wow. I wish I had this information before. Did I talk about this before? I hope I did. If not, I'm very sorry. But yeah, you had to get a refund by then. Speaking of which, Anime Expo Lite online event to host Anison concert. Anime Expo announced on Thursday that the convention's virtual version, Anime Expo Lite, will be hosting an Anison concert named Anime Expo Lite X Lisa Annie Live LA. Anime Expo Lite will stream concert, okay, July 4th, 9 p.m. Eastern EDT. Eastern D? EDT? What's Eastern? Is that Eastern Doofus time? I don't know what EDT is. Anyway, it's going to be a concert, man. That's really cool. So wait, does that mean that we can watch it? Oh yeah, it will stream on the virtual concert free of charge on its YouTube channel and Twitch channel. So there you go. The Promised Neverland manga has ended. This year's 28th issue of Shueisha's weekly Shonen Jump magazine published the final chapter on Monday. The manga's 20th and final volume will ship in October. That is crazy, man. That is really crazy. How many volumes did the anime cover? We're probably going to get like 3 or 4 seasons of this real shit. I did not know that it was 20 volumes in. I knew it was still going in Weekly Shonen Jump. I just did not know that it was that many volumes. Hell yeah, dude. That's crazy. G-Kids, Shout Factory release, Children of the Sea, on Blu-ray and DVD in September. G-Kids and Shout Factory announced on June 15th that they will release Studio 4C's anime film of Daisuke Igarashi's Children of the Sea. Hell yeah, dude. So there you go, G-Kids, Shout Factory. Okay, so here's I'm sorry, you guys. My fucking cat is, like, bugging me. So if you hear jingling or anything like that or the rocking of my headphone, she's fucking going nuts. Here's what I wanted to talk. So here's a big piece of news. Here's a big piece of news, and then I got a discussion piece at the end here, too. Nominees announced for reader-chosen Sugi Nikuru Manga 2020 Awards. The following nominees are currently available in English. This year had 4,000 entries, over 4,000 entries, almost 5,000. More than twice as many as last year. 50 nominees were selected for each category. The manga nominees were announced for the... Okay, so there's no categories, is there? There's just a list here. Readers can vote for their favorite series until July 3rd. The awards include 2 categories, one for print and one for online. Oh, so it's just like who gets the award. Okay. For print manga, it's A Gravity Boys, Undead Unluck, Prince Freya, Whisper Me a Love Song, Dead Mount Death Play, Mashal Magic and Muscles, Mitama Security Spirit Busters, A Sign of Affection, and Mission Yozakura Family. For web manga, it is Shikamori's Not Just a Cutie, I Fell in Love So I'm Streaming It, Tis Time for Torture Princess, Hirogenia Linguistico, In Archdemon's Dilemma, and Loving Yamada at level 999. So yeah, there you go. Those are the... I've only heard of a few of these. I don't even think I've heard of... I Fell in Love, So I'm Streaming It. I remember someone talking about Whisper Me a Love Song and Prince Freya. I've heard about as well. But the rest of these, I have no idea what they are. But yeah, there you go for you manga heads out there. So this is not really a news piece that I came across. It's an interest piece that I came across. It says, in between animators share stories of low wages, poor conditions with Dogemon Hell #. In between animators are the people, I'm just reading this piece to you, what it says. In between animators are the people who draw the connecting frames between each key pose. Despite the importance of their work, they're among the lowest paid workers in the industry, according to a 2019 survey by the Japan Animation Creators Association. The mean average yearly income across four in-between animators is only $1,250,000 yen, which is about $11,400, which is significantly lower than the $4,410,000 yen, $40,000 industry average. Animators recently took to Twitter with the hashtag DogamonHell hashtag to share some of their wage-related woes. Both anonymous animators and established animators participated in the hashtag, sharing what they earned with their first in-between animation jobs. A selection of tweets are listed below. Yuicha Tanaka, he is a character designer for Magical Index and Scientific Railgun, a certain Scientific Railgun. And he said, I lived for, and these are translated, I think, automatically, so it's kind of hard to, it might sound weird. I lived for about 10 months on 15,000 yen a month, which is about $140 a month. Oh, here's a translation of this next one from Kengo Saito, who is the chief animation director for Gridman. My initial salary was 8,000 yen. We've got to change this. It can't support a living. I think that this is really the worst part of this industry. This is an anonymous person. This is a pseudonym from Yoshimi Yamaguchi, so that's not their real name. A number of in-between animators made a direct appeal to the company head to do something about a veteran who was abusing his authority and making inappropriate sexual advances, but they were completely ignored. Incidentally, the veteran in question went off the deep end a few years later, got in trouble with the police, and left the studio. Damn. Mausa, which is also a pseudonym, this is an anonymous person. Translation of their tweet says, the rates would start around 100 yen per drawing, but the expenses such as pencils and transport would add up to about 20,000 yen per month. So the actual profit I made was only around 6,000 yen. That's only about 600 yen. A little less than, or $600. Here's another person named Shimada on Twitter. I pulled three all-nighters at a studio job for a job that earned me 4,000 yen. Whoops, I got on board the hashtag and let the facts slip. This hashtag is about the darkness of the anime industry. You all who are looking are better off not knowing. Okay. The manga artist Yasuo Hanamura, who is currently drawing the Animetta manga about a girl trying to make it in the anime industry, also commented on the hashtag, saying that the in-between animation rates mentioned in the manga is based on the real testimony of a former animator. So he's making a manga about a girl struggling in the anime industry, and that the in-between animation rates mentioned in the manga is based on a real testimony from an actual animator he knows. They also said that as a former newcomer and in-between animator 20 years ago, their first job earned them 45,000 yen, which included the fee of their training course, that in their second month, they earned only 18,000 yen. So earlier this month, animators from around the world tweeted about their wages with the hashtag #AnimationPaidMe hashtag, revealing global disparities in income, especially in Asia. So the reason I wanted to bring this up on the newscast is because I've had a number of people ask me, Nick, and Danny to do a podcast up on this. And honestly, we should. And I think it just kind of comes down to how bad we are at, like, planning episodes sometimes. And this is going to take some research. And I definitely want to do some research on it. I need to set aside, like, a day to literally just find a bunch of updated articles on it. But yeah, I mean, this is kind of a widely known thing in our fandom, and it sucks. It really does. Oftentimes you hear people say, like, well, that's what you get for joining that job. And it's like, dude, that's such a shitty attitude. You know what I mean? That's a real shitty attitude. And I understand it, I guess. I don't understand it. I don't know why I said that. I don't understand it. As an artist, I don't. As a working artist, I don't understand that. I mean, it's what you do. It's what you're good at. You're making a product for people. You should get paid for it. And that's what these animators are doing. You're paying for their talent and their time to do these in-between animations and things like that. If the in-betweeners weren't there, you wouldn't really have, you know what I mean? You wouldn't have those animation frames to go you know what I mean? It's just, that sucks. It sucks. But yeah, no, I would like to, for those of you, so basically my thing is this. I want to ask you listeners out there, for those of you who know a lot about this or happen to know a lot about it, please, and you're in our Discord, like, please at me on some articles, post it in the anime news channel or something, or in general, whatever, in the general channel, wherever you want, and just at me on it and be like, hey, Sam, check this out. Hey, Sam, check this out. I definitely want to do some research on it and figure that shit out 100%. So let me know. That being said, I thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate it. Really, really appreciate it. All the support and love I've been getting from you guys, and I got to give a shout out to Nick and Danny for dealing with my crap. You, those two, and all you guys seriously just keep me going. So thank you so much. I love you guys very much. Thank you for listening. I'll hope to see you next week. That being said, I've been Sam, and this has been the Anime Summit Newscast.